Well, I thank you very much for being one of the listeners here on WTSB. We're going to bring one of the great broadcasters in America to the fore of the golden airwaves of WTSB, Tom Joyner. The IG report was released this morning. Frankly, I was quite disappointed in it, about 500 pages. Bloomberg got a early release on it, and they talked about it, so we had some earlier information from Bloomberg, but Tom has not had enough time to really bone up on it like I'm sure you'd like to. But we're going to talk about things that affect you and your life and your family here today. So, Tom Joyner, it's always a pleasure to welcome one of America's great talk show hosts to the golden airwaves of WTSB.
Well, Carl, the long-awaited Department of Justice Inspector General report on the handling of the Clinton email investigation by the Justice Department and the FBI has just been released. As you said, it's disappointing, but there are things to gain from it. The report is roughly 500 pages long. It focuses on former FBI Chief James Comey and the decisions he made during the course of the Clinton investigation. It describes Comey as insubordinate, while also criticizing then Attorney General Loretta Lynch for her weak leadership. Conservative Republicans in particular have been calling for the report to be released. Here's part of that report. During the course of the review, the OIG discovered text messages and instant messages between some FBI employees on the investigative team conducted using FBI mobile devices and computers, and those expressed statements of hostility toward then-candidate Donald Trump and statements of support for then-candidate Hillary Clinton. They also identified messages that expressed opinions that were critical of the conduct and quality of the investigation. They included in the review an assessment of those messages and actions by FBI employees. Representative Trey Gowdy, the chairman of the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform, had a statement just ahead of the report's release because he had seen it. He called the findings deeply disappointing. Here's the bulk of his statement. He said, "I am alarmed, angered, and deeply disappointed by the Inspector General's finding of numerous failures by DOJ and FBI in investigating potential Espionage Act violations by former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. This report," he said, "confirms investigative decisions made by the FBI during the pendency of this investigation. They were unprecedented, and they deviated from traditional investigative procedures. This is not the normal way investigations are run," Gowdy said. The investigation, said Gowdy, was mishandled. The investigatory conclusions were reached before the end of the witness interviews. The July 5th press conference marked a serious violation of policy and process, and the letters to Congress in the fall of 2016 were both delayed in substance and unnecessary in form. Moreover, Gowdy said, the treatment afforded to former Secretary Clinton and other potential subjects and targets was starkly different from the FBI's investigation into Trump campaign officials. Voluntariness and consent in the former were replaced with search warrants, subpoenas, and other compulsory processes in the latter. Many of the investigators and supervisors were the same in both investigations, but the tactics were not the same. Former Director Comey violated department policy in several significant ways. The FBI's actions and those of former Director Comey severely damaged the credibility of the investigation, the public's ability to rely on the results of this investigation, and the very institutions he claims to revere. In July of 2016, Comey made the controversial decision to announce that he was recommending no charges be filed over the investigation into Clinton's emails. Then, days before the election, Comey announced in a letter to Congress that new emails had surfaced in the case. Clinton herself has blamed Comey in part for her election loss to Donald Trump. Then Attorney General Loretta Lynch, too, has been criticized for meeting with former President Bill Clinton on a tarmac while the investigation was ongoing. In January 2017, the same month Mr. Trump took office, DOJ Inspector General Michael Horowitz launched a review of the DOJ's and FBI's conduct regarding the case. Donald Trump, of course, as president, fired Comey in May 2017, initially pointing to an assessment of his handling of the Clinton investigation by Attorney General, the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein. Rosenstein had written that Comey had badly mishandled the conclusion of the Clinton investigation, calling it a textbook example of what federal prosecutors and agents are taught not to do. The president asserted he fired Comey over his handling of the Clinton email investigation, although that claim has been brought into question since, as Donald Trump cast doubt on the legitimacy of the Russia investigation. In the same NBC interview with Lester Holt, in which he blamed Comey's handling of the Clinton email, Mr. Trump said that he thought of this Russian thing when he decided to fire Comey. In any event, the president, any president, has the right to fire the attorney general without any reason whatsoever. The Clinton email probe centered around Clinton's use of a private email server to conduct business while she was Secretary of State. The investigation looked into whether those emails were classified, as well as Clinton's deletion of roughly 30,000 emails after she and other former secretaries of state were told in 2014 to preserve those emails. The nonprofit Project on Government Oversight urged that Horowitz's findings, the first nonpartisan full review of the FBI's conduct regarding the Clinton case, be taken seriously. This is a serious, serious matter, folks, and it's being kicked around like a political can. Carl, what we're seeing is more and more cover-up for Hillary Clinton. There is no question that she had 30,000-plus emails erased. Now, if you and I are told by Congress not to erase or destroy emails or evidence, and after having been told that, we destroy it, what do you think would happen to us? That's not what happened to Hillary Clinton. She not only had those emails destroyed, but she paid money to people to come in and bleach the emails out so that nobody could ever find a hint of what they said. She also had people take hammers and destroy the devices that she used. Now, all of this after Congress had warned her not to do that. They were subpoenaing the emails themselves. Heaven only knows what was in the emails, but I think it would be common sense to understand that nobody goes to the trouble and cost that Hillary Clinton did to destroy evidence, unless that evidence would have been problematic for them. So what we have here is a slap on the wrist that says Comey was insubordinate. He didn't follow the procedures, that Loretta Lynch was lax in her oversight. That's to say the least. But it doesn't get at the real crux of this matter. Did Hillary Clinton obstruct justice when she destroyed 30,000 emails that had been subpoenaed by Congress? And the answer to that is an absolute yes. There is no question. So why then does the inspector general basically let her off with nothing, not even a slap on the wrist? This is, you know, this is something now that where Democrats are on the defensive with Hillary Clinton. But the truth is, we don't need this in our society, whether it's Democrats or Republicans. If the shoe was on the other foot, the Democrats would be calling for Donald Trump or whoever the Republican was to be crucified. But they are constantly covering for Hillary Clinton and the emails. We will never know what was in those emails. I have an idea of some of the things that were in the emails, and they would have been devastating to Clinton, both Clintons, and the Clinton Foundation. Otherwise, why would you go to the trouble and expense to destroy it and be prepared to get the wrath of Congress, at least the Republicans, because they had told you not to destroy them? Now, any Democrat congressperson who defends that action that Hillary Clinton took is dishonest, to say the least. So, Carl, that's basically where we are on the IG report.
Well, you've done a good job kind of analyzing that, and it's kind of like the problem I see with this is the investigators are investigating themselves, and they're just going to hide things from us as long as they can. But, Tom, I think someday we'll see the truth here, because, like you say, there's no doubt about it, she obstructed justice when she was ordered not to destroy the evidence here, but that's exactly what she did. And I don't know that she'll ever face justice or not, but let me just ask you a personal question. Do you think the truth will ultimately come out?
I think it will, Carl, but heaven knows how long that's going to take. You know, they're still covering up and not releasing the tapes and the records on the John Kennedy that were sealed when John Kennedy was assassinated. That was supposed to be released to us after a certain number of years. That time came, and they were not released. They made excuses and kept them hidden. Barack Obama ran for president. Not a single one of the fake news media tried to understand where that man came from, who he was, what was about this guy. He sealed his records. It cost millions to do that. He had a court seal his records, so nobody knows any of the details about the life of Barack Hussein Obama. And we just don't seem, the media in particular, doesn't seem interested in exposing those kind of things. They didn't dig at all. But look what they're doing to Donald Trump. Whether you like the man or not, what he has been going through is not right. They just constantly all over this man, and they're making suppositions. Like, for the longest time, is he going to fire Jeff Sessions? Has Jeff Sessions been fired? No, that was never news. It was supposition by the media. So we're at a time in the United States when our very liberty and freedom is at risk, and we'd better start paying attention, and so many of us aren't.
Well, to that, I'll just say amen, and Tom, thank you for a brilliant analysis here. We caught you on the spur of the moment, but you proved to be more than adequate for the task at hand. And is there anything else you'd just like to leave with us today before we say goodbye?
Well, there is one thing. You know, the Democrats and the media is jumping on Donald Trump about his meeting, with Kim Jong-un. Listen, we have been at odds with North Korea since back in the 50s. We fought a war there. That war has never been settled. There is no peace treaty there. And so Donald Trump has gotten further along with trying to prevent nuclear weapons in North Korea and having some kind of peace on the Korean Peninsula than all of the other presidents put together. They criticize him for even talking to Kim Jong-un. Oh, Kim Jong-un is a dirty guy. He kills this. He does. That's beside the point. The man has nuclear weapons, and he can perfect them much, much greater than he has now. By not talking to him, what are you accomplishing? Now, Trump says that, you know, he gets along with the guy. Hey, what he means is, on the surface, it appears that this guy is going to change his ways. Now, why would Kim Jong-un do that? First of all, his people. He doesn't care about his people. He's reduced them to eating grass and dying young. What he does care about, though, is his own life and his regime. He will do something if that is threatened, and that's what Trump has done. He has said, we're going to either get rid of the nuclear weapons on the Korean Peninsula, or we're going to go to war. You can't possibly win that war, and Kim knows that. The Chinese don't want that war, and Kim knows that. And so the media keeps pecking away at Trump. What they should do is say, let's all pray for good results from this. Is Kim Jong-un to be trusted? I don't trust him. I don't see how you could trust him. But for Donald Trump to say, no, I don't trust the guy. I don't trust a word he says. What good is that going to do? And when we say, well, Trump gave away the store, by golly, he said we won't be participating in war games with South Korea. He stopped that. He didn't stop it. He suspended it. He can get those war games back on with one telephone call. But how do you, Carl, how do you negotiate peace with someone like Kim Jong-un and at the same time conduct war games against him as the enemy? It doesn't work that way. And so this Mickey Mouse reporting that we're getting and this climbing on by the liberal Democrats like Pelosi and Schumer, and every time Chuck Schumer comes out with his glasses down at the end of his nose, I want to stop being a nice guy and kick his fanny into the next century. But this is serious business. If we can't get a deal whereby the peninsula, the Korean Peninsula, is denuclearized, we are going to have to go to war with North Korea. And God only knows what China and Russia would do at that point. I don't think it'll get to that, because I know that China doesn't want that, and they're putting pressure on Kim as well. So what he wants, Carl, is for us to guarantee that we won't invade him, that we won't move in for a regime change. He sees what happened to Muammar Gaddafi. He sees what happened in Iraq with Saddam Hussein. And he has every right, I despise the man, but he has every right to say, whoa, what's in this for me? And so that's where they're at this point. And Trump is trying his best to get some kind of deal. If it's not in our best interest, he will walk away. I am convinced of that. But for him to start piling on Kim Jong-un, to start going back to calling him names and to keep war games going outside the window while you're talking to the man about why he ought to make peace with you, makes absolutely no sense. That's my rant on North Korea today.
Well, a good rant. And by the way, you got a new microphone, and it sounds excellent. Boy, I love the microphone you're using. So keep on using it. It sounds just absolutely terrific.
Mike Phillips helps me with engineering, and Mike suggested this. The mic I had was a good mic, but it was one of the cheaper mics, and this microphone is a lot more expensive, but it has more depth and clarity to it.
Amen. Well, Tom, thanks a million for brilliant analysis here today, and much more is going to be reported on this today, I'm sure, but I don't think anybody could have done a better job analyzing with the information you've had what you've done today, and we're just going to hope for the best, and I think that my thoughts is whenever, how long is it going to take to get some of these people, Democrats, before committee and have them give testimony and face the bar of justice? I don't know.
Well, on his way out, Barack Obama made it as difficult as possible. You know, they were handing out immunity to Hillary Clinton's aides and to Barack Obama's aides. They were handing out immunity like there's no tomorrow. In other words, you know, if you testify and you say something wrong, you can't be charged. If you lie, you can't be charged. You had immunity.
Well, that's right. But, Tom, thank you very much. You kind of come in here at the last minute, but you've done an excellent job, and I do appreciate it very much. And say hello to Ann, and say hello to George Beasley.
I'll sure do it, Carl, and God bless America.